I'm glad I'm being run after, aren't you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't know about y'all, but boy, my mind was flooded, go through my life. Boy, God's been good to me. How many of you know He's been good to you? Amen. We ought to just clear us off a spot every once in a while and just praise Him. How many of y'all ever get excited while you're driving in your car? Y'all ever have one of them slobbering, running fits in your car? To be careful, you're driving, though. I know I've drove by people before, and they think I'm half crazy. I'm beating on the steering wheel and shouting and crying at the same time, thinking about how good is God, how good He's been to us. Would you open your precious Bible this morning, the book of James, chapter 1. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad you're here, and we hope the service will be a great blessing to you. If you'll wait around there after the service, I'll try to hobble up and meet you. I'd love to meet everybody that's here if you're visiting today. And we're so thankful all of you are here. And it thrills my heart. I know the Sunday school class had a great class downstairs, a good number. And so just keep working at it. And God's good, isn't He? I want you to work hard now for Easter. Let's have a big day. And let's ask God to bless in a special way. And let's ask God to help people to obey the Lord in whatever that might be. Even today, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you lovingly, you can take care of that today. You can meet Him today. You can have your sins forgiven today. You can know for sure that you're saved today. Don't wait. You can take care of that today. If you need to follow Him in the Lord's and believer's baptism, take care of that, whatever it is. If you feel like this is where God wants you to come and be a member of this church, then just come on down and we'll talk to you about it. And we're thankful. We've had several folks want to talk to us. We're excited about it, and we want to talk to them. And we're always excited when God is working in people's hearts and brings people here. Especially in this day, as I've said, there's so many variety of churches. There's a flavor of all sorts and sizes. Can somebody give me a witness? But I'm going to tell you something. I like what the Lord's doing here. Now listen to me. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I'd get where I feel like God's working and moving, and I would get somewhere where I feel like, hey, they're doing it and, the way it needs to be done. But listen, I believe we are biblicists here. We believe in the Bible. We're trying to do it God's way. This is His church, and we're just trying to follow His pattern. And I know, based on the Word of God, He puts a primacy on preaching. And it's through preaching that God saves people. It's through faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. I like good gospel music. That was good harmony music this morning. How many of you is touched by that? And how many of you are glad that He's chasing, that His goodness is running after you? You don't get any better than that. And so we want to thank you for being here today, and we're excited about what the Lord's doing. Open to your Bible. If you're open your precious Bible, you're probably already there. James chapter 1, chapter 1, verse number 19. As you know, we've been doing a series of messages on the metaphors of the Word of God. We started out as preaching a message on the Word of God as a sword. And then we preached on this last week, God's Word is a mirror. And if you weren't here on Sunday night, by the way, I just want to put a plug in for Sunday night. Sunday night, I believe, is the most encouraging service of our whole week. I believe that. We get the children involved, and we have a great evening service, and I'm thankful for that. But we had a special surprise last week. And as I was getting ready, actually, the McCauleys had just given a powerful testimony. Brother Jim Beeler got up to give a testimony. And Brother Eric Collins was in the building, and he just needed the Lord. And I'm telling you what, down the aisle he came, broken, and asking God for a miracle. And he, I mean, just dove into this altar, and our church followed him. And I mean, we had a special night. And so just felt the Lord. It didn't need to be preaching. We just spent the rest of that time in praying and asking God to do something special. And so with that being said, it's good. My sermons are like bologna. You can slice them off anywhere and they're still good. Amen. How many of you like bologna? All right. Well, if you don't like bologna, then maybe you'll find something in this. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 19. Here's what the Bible says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'm already convicted. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Anytime you see the word vain, it means it's empty. It doesn't work. It's empty. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll just speak to our hearts. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we preached on God's Word as a mirror. We talked about when you look into a physical mirror, it takes your mind, it takes your heart, and it takes your hands. And we talked about how you have to process the Word of God through your mind. You have to receive the Word of God. And you've got to understand the Word of God. And so we're talking about this as the Word of God as a mirror. For the Bible says that for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. He said it's like when you look in the Word of God, it's like beholding yourself in a natural glass. Looking in a mirror, you're seeing an image. You're seeing a reflection. And when we read the Word of God, we see the image of God. When we read the Word of God, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, what He desires, what He has done. You learn about the Lord Jesus through reading His Word. You see an image. But not only do you see His image, but when you read the Word of God, you obviously are going to see your image, going to see my image. And to be fair, we don't always like what we see. Amen? And so we understand why the Bible says if we look at the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, and we're not a doer of the Word of God, it's like looking into a mirror and seeing that wild hair, not doing anything with it. It's like seeing maybe you ladies, you've put on your makeup that morning and you've just missed a spot that you didn't blend, and so you look in the mirror and say, that'd be all right. It's all right. I got a blank spot there, but it'd be okay. Well, you won't be out long. Someone say, hey. Nobody does that. Nobody walks in the mirror and say, oh man, my face looks horrible and we don't do anything about it. No, when you look into a natural glass, you process what you see, it goes to your heart, and then it moves your hands to fix whatever needs to be fixed. Can I get a witness? Now, you can sit there and say all you want when you look in that mirror, well, there's not a wild hair there, but the mirror's not lying. When I was a teenager, and I know some of you teenagers might know what I'm talking about, when you're a teenager, you know, you have all these things sometimes just pop up on your face. And I had a good friend, his name was Bert, he and I were best friends growing up, and we loved to make fun of each other if we had certain things pop up on our face. And I used to look at him, if he had a big one pop up on his nose the night before, he'd come to school the next day, and I'd look at him and say, man, you got Mount Vesuvius on the side of your head. And I said, it needs to erupt. Somebody say amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But it don't do any good to look in that mirror and see Mount Vesuvius and not do anything with it. Nobody does that. You don't just look in the mirror and see Mount Vesuvius there and say, oh, that's a pretty one. It's going to be processed through your brain. It's going to affect your heart. You're going to say, you know what, I need to take care of that. And it's going to do what? You're going to take your hands or thumbs and you're going to squeeze it. How many of y'all, look, y'all want practical preaching. You don't get no more practical than that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Then it's all relating. By the way, physical illustrations bridge truth. Like last week. Now listen, I don't do it to get humor. It was a true story about my dad and acupuncture, but I'm going to promise you this. I can promise you this, you'll never forget that word. And when you don't forget that word, here's what you ought to think about. You ought to think, man, he was passionate about finding out what that was. And when we look into the Word of God, we ought to be passionate when we know it's true. Passionate. So we let it affect our heart. We deal with it in our mind. Then we process it through our mind. Then we process it, proceeds to our heart. And then I want to close. I want to finish up this message that I had planned on preaching last week. And then I got a brand new one for the next few moments. But we talked about if when you look into this mirror, it uses your head, it uses your heart, but it also uses your hands. Now, I want you to notice the hands symbolize action. There are very few things that we do without our hands. We work with our hands. We talk with our hands. We make gestures with our hands. Hey, we minister with our hands. We Band-Aid someone's cut, our children's cut, with our hands. We even fight with our hands. We use our hands to sign contracts. We use our hands to play the piano. Can I say that we use our hand to show joy, or it can even show disgust? Your hands will reveal something about you and something about me. Someone said that the position of our hands is position, a symbolic position of where our heart is. I believe it. So let's look at this natural mirror. We look into the Word of God. It's like beholding our image in the glass. We see that. We look into the mirror, so we use our eyes. We process what we've heard. And then it should go to our heart. We believe what it's saying. And so therefore, we ought to be passionate about it because we believe God's Word is true. We know it will change us. We know that it will affect our life and the people in our life. We know it will affect our communities. So we get passionate about it. Once we process it and say, man, that's true. God's Word is true. I believe that. So you put it in your heart and you say, man, that is true. So you get passionate about what you believe. But it don't stop there. If all we're going to do is look into the mirror and say, man, that's good. I see the image. That's great. And then you let it in your heart and say, man, I believe that. But remember, actions, your hands stands for action. Here's the question. What are we going to do with it? There's got to be action. As I said, if you're looking in a mirror and you see something not right with your face, I've never watched anybody. I've never done it. I've never looked, oh, that'd be all right. People get a kick out of that. And turn away and walk away from it and not do anything. It's in other words, like God says, when we look in His Word and we don't do what it says, it's like looking in a mirror, seeing a flaw there on our face that we could fix, and we just walk away from it like we didn't even see it. That's the same picture that God gives of His Word as a mirror. And when we think about our hands, the hands symbolize action. Remember, looking in the mirror, you have seen, you've processed in your mind. It's affected your feelings. It's affected your heart. So therefore, you're going to do something with it. You're going to do something with it. When the head is right about one's practical Christianity and the heart is right about one's practical Christianity, and then the hands need to be right. And let me just say, there will be action. You won't just look. You won't just feel. You will be doers. Doers of the Word. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can I ask how many of y'all know what the word blessed means? It means to be happy. How many of y'all want to be happy? Can I ask y'all a question? How many of you want your children to be happy? See, now here's where we mess up in the philosophy of the world. We're taking all the philosophy of the world and say, well, they need this, they need this, they need this, they need this, they need this. And it's everything the world tells us they need to be happy. And I want you to know something. If you want your children to be happy, then help them to be right. Some people don't understand us. And by the way, let me speak to every young person for just a minute. You are a fool. And yes, I said it. If you will not listen to people who love you. You're a fool. And here's what they, well, it ain't that way. We're just going to find out for yourself. Well, here's what's amazing. Your parents love you enough, they don't want you to find out for yourself. They don't want you to find out for yourself. They want you to look into the law of the liberty and say, you know what, there's what the Bible says. So if I want to be happy, by the way, you want to have a happy marriage? Then be right. Do right. Be right. When you look into the Word of God and you see practices and principles and promises that God gives us, you can say, oh, Preacher Mark, that was a great sermon. It's not a great sermon unless we do something with it. Oh, Pastor, that little illustration made me cry. Well, the world makes me cry all the time. I can watch a movie that ain't got a thing to do with God and it affects my feelings. It's what we do with what we know. It's what we do with what we know. And the Bible says, he that continueth in that is happy. And see, let me say to every young person here, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to try it my way. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be miserable. Somebody give me a witness. You're going to be miserable. Why? Because you're not doing it his way. If you look into the law of liberty, and let me just say to all you young people that's been raised in church and you're trying to do it your way, listen to me, you're going to be more miserable. You're going to be more miserable. Why? Because here's what the Bible says. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That word blessed means happy. So there's got to be action. Remember, again, go back to the hands. It symbolizes what action? Number one, let me just say this. We ought to have hands of surrender. Can I ask y'all a pungent question? Don't answer it out loud, but just answer it in your heart. What's hindering you from serving God like you ought to be? What will you not give up? What will you not give up? Again, hands of surrender. Do you know from doing what God wants us to do, our mind can be so crowded with things other than the things of God? What is it? I'm going to be honest with you, church. God has divine appointments in our life, but I'm going to tell you this. Do you know when I become important to people? Do you know when this church becomes really important to people? In most cases, when they're at the bottom of the barrel and they don't know what else to do. You know what? Shouldn't be that way. Now look, I'm thankful for it. I know that's how God works. But I want to tell you something right now. God's word says, blessed is he in his work that just continueth in his word. Surrender hands. Surrendered hands. What's God want you to do? What's God saved you for? Sit soaking sour? Oh, Pastor, I tell you right now, I'm saved. Great. What did he save you for? Oh, so Pastor Mark, I can never be a preacher. Okay, I'm not telling you. God called you to be a preacher. Not just because somebody gets saved and surrendered, that doesn't mean they become a preacher. I had this idea as a young boy, man, if you surrendered your life to God, you'd have to go to the mission field and eat bugs. Amen. I thought that's what you had to do, man. I said, man, if you give your life to God, you got to go out here in the mission field. They're going to send you out there to some place. You're going to have to eat bugs. Well, you know what? I ain't never seen that happen. But I'll tell you this. If God calls you to do it, you'll love them. Surrender. Surrendered hands. I mean, just surrendered. When I read the Bible, what does God want for me? What do I need to surrender? What do I need to give him? What action do I need to give to him? If you continue to hold on to whatever it is, you say, well, I've got too many more important things. More important things than God? I'm going to be honest with you, church. I've been at the bedside of many people that's taken their last breath. It's a very sobering thing. I mean, it really is. It's a sobering thing to be there in a presence of someone that takes their last breath. And I'm going to tell you, I've never been in the presence of one person that's passed and talked about anything. I'm going to tell you a few things I've never heard them talk about. Are y'all ready? I've never heard them talk about money. Ever. I've never heard of one of them talk about their house they live in. I've never heard of one talk about the car they drove. I've never heard of one. You know what I've heard them talk about when they're getting ready to die? Well, if they're saved, and most of the time that I've been there with someone that's passed, they've been saved, and if they've had some type of a rift with their family, they want to make sure their family and them are okay. They want to make sure that, hey, I've had some people that's doubted their salvation right there on their deathbed. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing they were concerned about is, listen, I just want to know that I know that I know that if I die, I'm going to heaven. And so you know what? It's amazing to me. I've never went to a hospital bed with anything other than this book that people cared about. But it's amazing. While we live, there are so many other things that take precedence over what God wants us to do. We got to have hands of surrender. Can I say we got to have hands of service? See, God wants to use you. That's amazing. Brother Don, the day I found out God wanted to use me, that was an amazing thing because I know who I am. Listen, I'll tell you, I was as backward and bashful and thought, my soul, I never dreamed of being able to be a preacher. I never dreamed of being able to go to a mission field. I never dreamed of doing anything of what God's allowed me to do. And He's been good. But I want you to know something. He wants to use you when we surrender to His will. What about it? Who's more important, His will or our will? I'm going to tell you, normally it's our will. What we like to do is we like to try to make His will in our will. We like to try to say, okay, now, Lord, I'm going to put you in this box. I'm going to put you in this circle. Now, I'll do this if it don't cost me too much, Lord. But see, that's not surrendering. Surrendering is just simply looking into the mirror. God speaks to our hearts. We surrender our heart. We surrender our hands. And then we have hands of service. God wants to use us. He can use your hands to make a difference. Now, I want you to notice. I want you to notice with me. Let's look at verse number 25 just real quick here. And let's just stay here for a while. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. We want to look at that word continueth for a little while. But, you know, we live in a day that offers so much information. We can find answers to almost anything, any question at our fingertips. Y'all know what? Y'all ready? Here, y'all ready? Hey, Siri. Did y'all hear that? Let's try that again. Hey, Siri. Huh? I got a talking phone. Hey, Siri. Huh? What could possibly be hurting my foot?
You'll need to enable access to health data first.
There's a question. And guess what? She gave me an answer. How many of y'all have ever Googled something? Can I help every young person here just a second? God help us here, and let me just get a little, let me not clear off too big of a spot. If you got a mama or a grandma, listen to me. I'd rather ask them than Google for your baby. Hey, Google. I Googled it, so it must be correct. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes Google is correct. It's a wonderful tool. And I'm going to be honest, there's times I'm glad I have this thing. If I'm lost, I can get unlost real quick. If I'm wanting to find a stream or someplace, I can find it real easy. I mean, it's amazing. We can ask this phone a question and she can give me an answer. It's amazing, isn't it? We're in the age that we have information at our fingertips. And it is a wonderful tool. But we have access to all of the questions of life. And they're right here, and they're never wrong. Never wrong. Why? Because they didn't come from man's wisdom. This book is not man's wisdom. It's what the Holy Ghost teaches. The world does not understand this book. And we have access to all the answers of our cares, of all of our problems through God's Word. And for many, sadly, they never come to the point of where they're relying on God's truth and His Word to work in their lives. By the way, there's others that have great knowledge. They gather knowledge from this book and they gather the truths. But here's the sad thing. They never really get it into their lives. You say, Pastor, how do you know? I hear it all the time. Well, I know that. Well, I know what the Bible says. You know what people tell you when they go, well, I know what that says, but I ain't doing it. That's what we're saying. Oh, and like in other words, like, Pastor, I know what that is, but I ain't going to do it. Well, the Bible doesn't say here when you look into the mirror that you only say, hey, I hear it. No, he says, if you're going to be blessed, if you're going to be happy, you've got to do it. We got to be doers of the word. God's word should be exercised. But here's what sadly, many Christians never apply God's word to their life. Now listen, y'all want powerful stuff today? Take something today and put it in here. Apply it to your life. Husbands, you ought to lead in this. You ought to get in your car today and say, listen, honey, here's what God spoke to me about. This is what God spoke to me about. I want you to know, I'm going to put that in my heart. I want that to change my life. I read it today. I realize it's like a mirror, and God wants me to be a surrendered vessel. Maybe today you're out there and you say, Pastor Mark, I'm not saved. Okay, well, he wants to work in your heart, and you get saved today. But I'm going to tell you right now, no matter how much he loves you, no matter how much he's done, and by the way, he loves you with an everlasting love. He's done everything to provide your salvation. You know what he won't do? He won't make you get up out of that seat. He won't make you act. He won't make you believe. I can't make you believe. I wish I could. We have to believe. We have to act. We have to be doers of the word. And I have said, this book of James, one of my favorite books in all the Bible, it's so practical. It addresses the important matters in the believer's life. And James does it again here. And so let's just look at this little phrase, doers of the word. Number one, look at the demand of God's word in our lives. There's a demand. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. There it is. There's the demand to continuously keep on showing ourselves to be doers of the word. I hear this all the time. Oh, well, I did that years ago. Okay, but here's what's wonderful about the mirror. When you read God's word and you process it through your mind and you know it's true, then you have to continue to do. You have to continue to be faithful. You have to continue to forgive. You have to continue to do and surrender and keep yourself on that altar. See, it's whoever looks into the law of liberty and continues. There's the demand. Oh, let me just say, reading this book is like reading no other. Can I illustrate? We can read a lot of different books, and we do. But they don't demand anything of us. Now, ladies, if you're reading a cookbook, have you ever read a cookbook that's demanded you to cook a three-course meal? It's never demanded you to do it. You've never read a cookbook that's demanded you to fix that dessert. It doesn't demand you to do anything. We read books all the time and they don't demand us. But oh, listen to me. The Word of God is different. It's not like reading a cookbook. To the child of God that reads His Word with a teachable, trainable heart, there is a calling by the Holy Spirit of God for us to respond to its demands. By the way, that offering plate is not going to get any money in it until we what? Give into the Holy Spirit of telling us what we should give to the Collins family. We have to do. We understand that God's Word demands things from us. God's Word of truth is not something just to be stored, although we should store God's Word in our hearts and in our minds. Y'all ready for what it is? It calls us to be a life lived by it. I heard a poem once said this, it's easier to preach than to practice. It's easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few. There's a demand. Can I say number two, the development of God's Word in our lives. I want you to note this. If we are doers of the Word, if we're not doers of the Word, we're only hearers. We're only hearers. Can I say something? I believe it's very dangerous to be in this stage of life where you're only a hearer. You know why I believe it's very dangerous? It's very dangerous for a person to be in the place for someone just to be content with hearing the Word of God. Wow, Pastor, I was there, I heard it. Great. That's dangerous if that's all you did was hear it. You know why? Because the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. For instance, like, we can sit here and I can tell you, if I look in a mirror and say, man, I don't have no wrinkles. Well, I can look in the mirror and tell y'all, I see them. So if I walk away from that mirror and say, man, I don't have no wrinkles. And I walk up to my wife, and she's going to think I'm handsome anyhow. Amen? Amen. You can say it a little louder. But if I walk around, you know, like I'm, you know, 28 and I'm really 49, I'm walking around and, you know, let's just say that I put on, you know, the, and I'll be careful. There's certain things a 49-year-old man ought not wear. But let's say that I look in the mirror and I see what I look like and I see, you know what, it don't matter. I don't believe any of that anyway, and so I put certain things when I walk around. My wife's going to be embarrassed. Why? Because here's what I've done. I've walked and looked in the mirror and I've deceived myself. I've only seen it and I've heard it and I ain't done anything about it. And see, here's what's very dangerous. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. Here's what's scary. If someone's not saved, here's what will happen. If you hear how to get saved and you just hear and you won't get saved, here's what happens, boy. The devil and the demons and even your flesh will say, I'm all right. I don't need to get saved. What's he talking about? Somebody died for me on the cross. No, I'm all right. I'm not a sinner. See, here's what's sad. The Bible tells you you're a sinner. So if you don't understand that and you don't believe that and you don't act on that, you've been deceived. That's a dangerous place just to be a hearer of the Word. Oh, Pastor, I heard that. I don't need to go up there to that marriage conference because all that stuff I've heard before. Dangerous. You say, why? You're deceiving yourself. It's very dangerous to be only a hearer of the Word. There's a great deal of difference between reading a menu and eating a meal. Huge. I've never seen anybody say, boy, Pastor, look how well I can read that menu, but if they don't order to eat a meal, they're going to die of starvation. Hey, there's a big difference between holding a prescription and taking it. Hey, Pastor, I went down here, I got strep throat, I went and got me some amoxicillin. Right here's the cure. Well, great. When are you going to take it? Well, I just don't think I will. Well, what's going to happen is that's going to turn into scarlatino and you're going to die of an infection. There's a difference between getting a prescription and taking the medicine. Hey, there's a greater difference in reading the Bible and applying it. It's huge. It's huge. It's like a difference between night and day. It's huge. Oh, Pastor, I've read it. Good. What are we doing with it? The word deceive means to arrive at a conclusion by false reasoning. It's not enough to look and see. Look and read. Hey, listen, we must be doers. How many of you have ever read the Bible, man, and you've gotten so convicted, you said, man, I got to start changing that or I got to do that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've been there, boy. See, the development of God's word in our lives, we've got to do. And then quickly, just quickly now, the disregard of God's word in our lives. Look at verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The illustration that James gives here, it's a casual, haphazard approach, looking at something just like a glimpse. Now look, how many of you ladies in your home, how many of you ladies it would take you longer to get ready than your husband? Would you be honest, would you raise your hand? Is there more like that? Okay, well, what do y'all do? Y'all just go, I'd be all right. No. How many of y'all put makeup on? Would y'all raise your hand? Okay. Well, I don't know of any lady that's ever looked in that mirror and said, that'd do. No, I would say most ladies have what? They've got one of them mirrors that's got the lights around it, and, you know, them things scare me because I don't want to see all that stuff. You get them big magnifying mirrors, man, you're putting that makeup on, you're doing your eyeliner, and you're doing all that, and you're fluffing them things up, and you're taking that thing, crimping them, and then back in the 80s, you'd tease that stuff up. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I didn't see anybody do all that by going like this. But it's amazing to me, boy. Some people think 20 minutes in a sermon, that's all I need all week. No, I said, boy, we look into it. And he don't just look and see so he can forget it. He looks in it. He doesn't want to disregard. See, a careless person makes mistakes. Let me stop and ask this question. Can I ask y'all a question this morning? How many of y'all just stopped sometime this morning and before you came into church says, Lord, I need you to speak to me today? Lord, will you help me to be teachable today? Help me to get all my mind and everything off the supper that's getting ready to go on or the food that we're getting ready to eat afterwards or all the things we've got to do today. Lord, I just need you to help me clear my mind because when I come in here, I want to hear your word and I want to be ready to receive it. It's powerful. Did you thank him for what he was going to show you today? So, Pastor Mark, why is it so important to be faithful to church? Well, I don't know about y'all, but it amazes me that a God of heaven wants to speak to me every day. But it's amazing to me that he wants me to come to a certain specific place every week that he can only speak to me, but he can speak to my church family together. That's a powerful thing. God's word's like a mirror, and when we look into it, we should see ourselves for who we are. But sadly, week after week, time after time, there are Christians, and by the way, it's been this Christian. We've sat, we've listened to sermons, we've listened to our Sunday school studies, we've listened to the lessons, and our lives, we walk out of this door, and they've been completely unaffected by what we heard and by what we've seen. I pray God will help us not to do that. I'm going to close right there because tonight I want to deal with a disciplined look. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's a pastoral message tonight. A disciplined look. What's God want us to do? What can He do with us? You ever thought about that? I'm not going to lie to you, church. We need help. But you know, the church is not an institution if they have an ad or they need help. They don't put an ad in the paper and say, hey, to all the community. Because see, we people that aren't saved can't do this work. So what's it take? What helps us to do the work that God's called us to do? We got to be people that are looking in the mirror. And we're seeing where we are and we're seeing where He is and we're allowing the Word of God to demand of us, what does He want us to do? What does He want us to do? What does He want us to do? What does He want you to do? What did He save you for? What did He make you for? You know what changed my life? What changed my life is I absolutely realized that Jesus was with me every second of the day. He became real to me, not just on Sunday. He became real to me, and I know that might seem elementary to you, but that changed my life. I was 21, and I realized, you know what? He's with me every second. He's real to me. I made Him real to me. What did I start doing? I started looking in the mirror, and I started allowing Him to speak to me and reveal Himself to me. And you know what? I'm going to just tell you, the Bible does demand of us. But it's not like this awful taskmaster. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, you better do this or I'm going to do this. That's not the God we have. Out of love, He demands of us. How many of y'all, if someone, let's say your child was drowning in a river, you couldn't swim. You couldn't save your child, but you knew your child was going to die any moment. And somebody graciously risked their life, jumped into that water, and saved your child. How many of you would be grateful for for that person? Would there be a little bit of a responsibility maybe of you because of what he did for you and your family that you would feel a demand to try to honor him and try to be a blessing to that person, try to serve him in some way? How many of you feel like that? It's what Jesus did. We don't serve God because we're scared of him. We serve him because we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Let me help every young person here. You want to have the right kind of marriage? Then love. Love begets love. Selfishness begets selfishness. Love begets love. Here's the key. God is love. And because he loved me, yes, his love demands from us. How many of you know you're saved? How many of you know it's because he saved you? Then how in the world can we read about him and not have a desire in our heart to do something for him? It requires action. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's ask God to help us. I'm feeling better already. I believe I can play around the kickball. I don't know, there's something about it, boy. I think God meets me and helps me. Amen? What does he want for us? With head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, listen, this, look, preaching's pungent. It's personal. I mean, and here's the good thing about it. You don't have to tell the world. You don't have to say a soul to nobody. But let him have his way. If he spoke to you about something, say yes right now. Just say yes. Throw up the flag. Say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Mark, I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I will. Maybe Brother Edgy, maybe a couple of you men might want to come up here and pray with Brother. Pray. Whatever the Lord says to do, let's say yes. Amen. Whatever it is, say yes. He'll help you, I promise. He'll help you. Together. It's all hearts clear. All hearts clear. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I know there's times we read your word and it's just so demanding. We feel so inadequate. Lord, we feel so unworthy. But Lord, we're thankful you're almighty. You can do all things. And Lord, I'm amazed that you want to use people like us, but Lord, we're all you have. So I pray you'll help us as we start looking into your law of liberty. What do you want of us? Lord, I pray you'll help to mature us, not just to look in thy word what we can get from you. But Lord, I pray you'll help us to mature. What can we be for thee? And Lord, I pray you'll continue to work in all of our hearts. We thank you for each person that came here today. And again, we thank you. We ask it